Wow, December 2nd, 2015. We have 29 days left in this year. All right. I'm going to do a little bit fewer current events tonight because I'm going to spend a little more time on the four or five that I do have. But as you remember, before our break, back on the 18th of November and the 11th of November, we went into, in our current events, Ezekiel 38 and 39. For those of you who do not have that lesson, it's available. There's listings right next on the back table. It'll say War of Gog and Magog. I encourage you to check that off. We'll be referencing some of that tonight during our current events, not just tonight, but really in the weeks to probably the next, well, probably until Jesus comes. Because, I mean, it's right there in front of us, the formation of what's taking place. So our first current event, ISIS is starting to build an air force in Libya. Did you guys hear that at all? Okay. Up on the screen, smack dab to the west of Egypt is Libya. Or as Ezekiel 38 says, Put. That's Ezekiel 38, verse 5. Smack dab in the center, on the northern side on the coast of the Mediterranean, a little bit. I'm going to give you a little zoomed in shot here. Up to the northeast part. You guys remember Benghazi? That was the news that started off for you, and then almost certainly it's to the west along the Mediterranean as well. So the Islamic State is now in the port city of Sirte, located in the northern Libya. They are training flying planes. They also have a flight simulator for new pilots. Sources quoted that the London-based Arabic Al-Sawat was saying that they're not sure how they got the civilian plane simulator, but they also have a fighter jet one as well, and they are training several jihadists all throughout the port city. A senior Libyan military officer confirmed the information to the newspaper in an interview held in Cairo. He noted that ISIS, which now includes former officers in the Libyan army and neighboring armies, succeeded in not only getting the civilian flight simulator, the military flight simulator, but now has several jet fighters from Iraq and Syria. So they brought over actual the pilots. They're training more people. They have got flight simulators in Libya, which, once again, we're going to go to this in a second, is Put in Ezekiel 38. As we've been talking about, in 2011 and 2012, there was the Arab Spring. Everyone remember the Arab Spring? Not Irish Spring, totally different thing. Arab Spring, a little joke, okay. Arab Spring. All these surrounding Mediterranean countries had an uprising, and new leadership took over. Out of those, 7 of those 10 turned into a predominantly Muslim or Islamic religious leaders and or government structure in their Senate or congressional people. Up until that time, there was only 3 surrounding Israel, or 3 nations that were mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39 that were against Israel. This is how quick everything could take place. It says that 2 weeks ago, ISIS fighters obtained 2 other simulators. Another senior security source said that the Lebanese Air Force has tried several times to hit the base where the flight training is thought to be conducted. Lebanon, which is going to be part of the end times Babylonian Empire. Do you guys remember this? Okay. It just so happens that Libya, as we've been going through Daniel chapter 4 and Daniel chapter 2, that these old empires, Libya is part of those as well. This is all, and it's a part of Ezekiel 38. ISIS has in the past, as they've captured fighter jets all throughout Iraq and Syria, is now coming up with a plan for terrorist pilots that would head all throughout the Mediterranean Sea, which could easily be crossed over into the northwestern part into the European nations. ISIS has approximately 3,000 to 3,500 members in Libya alone along the coast. 8 independent experts appointed to monitor Al-Qaeda and ISIS each turned in a 24-page report which said ISIS Central Command views Libya, they view Libya as the best opportunity to expand its, okay, these guys got to hold this, okay, before I continue this. This is a non-Christian outlet, BBC, okay? BBC said, upon their interviews, and I'm sorry, the 24-page reports, these 8 independent experts concluded that by taking Libya, it is the best opportunity for them to expand what ISIS calls the final caliphate from Syria and Iraq, giving it a strategic point of transit into Europe. This is not, BBC is not a Bible-based media source. All they're saying is they're gathering information from 8 independent experts and they're letting them know what is going on in the world, which, see, some people might say is political. We know it's biblical. Do you guys see how this works? So when you talk about what's going on in this country, biblically, they'll turn it into politically. So as they discuss what to do politically, we know biblically this is supposed to be taking place. How do we know that? Because Ezekiel 38, we're going to talk about that in a second, said that Libya is going to come up against Israel. Well, until you have some type of formation, because who is the former supreme ruler in Libya? Gaddafi. He was taken out end of 2011, 2012, beginning of 2012. There hasn't really been anything going on other than jihadists just keep moving in, going to the northern port cities. Obviously, as we saw with Benghazi, it took place, which is also going to be very much a part of the 2016 elections, trust me. Do you not think Benghazi is going to have some bearing on what's going to take place in 2016? Of course it is. What the world calls is political, we're looking at is it's biblical. These are biblical things that are taking place. So ever since the 2011/2012 Arab Spring, once again, this is the BBC, in which Gaddafi was killed, oil-rich Libya has now been embroiled in chaos and divided between an elected government in the eastern port city of Tobruk all the way over to the western side as Islamic militia government to the capital of Tripoli on the far west side. You see it on your screen as well. Ezekiel 38, you don't have to turn there, but if you want to jot that down, I'm going to go over this. We're going to be repeating this several times over because I want you to understand, because you can, once again, impress your Bible-believing friends and blow away your non-Bible-believing friends when you can give these quotes right out of the Bible. Ezekiel, which is written right around 2,600 years ago, Ezekiel was writing this at the same time Daniel was writing the book of Daniel. He was doing this about 200 miles south of Daniel, both taken in captivity in the Babylonian Empire, writing the same thing. 38:1, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog and the land of Gog. Gog is a man. Land of Magog is an area in central Southeast Asia. In South Asia. The prince of Rosh, Meshach, Tubal prophesy against him and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, chief prince ruler of Rosh. Of Meshach, Tubal, I will turn your back and put hooks into your jaws, and I will turn you back. And put hooks into your jaws, and I will bring you forth, and all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed in full armor, a great company with buckler, shield, and all of them handling swords. So before we go to verse 5, God is going to be doing this. Why? Because it's scripture, and it has to be fulfilled. Because God is not a man that he should lie. And it tips you and I off when you start seeing these nations form against Israel that it's almost time for his return. As we studied, the war of Gog and Magog takes place right around the time of the rapture of the church. God is going to make this happen in order for you and I not to get caught unaware. Is that the coolest thing? He's going to say, I'm going to make, for all we know, Vladimir Putin, Prince Rosh, he's going to come down, and guess what? He's going to lead this attack. Could it be him? I don't know. But God is going to say, it's you're going to do this now. Well, I thought only God speaks to people who are followers of him. He can make anybody do anything he wants to. It says he can raise kings up and depose kings. It didn't say only those who follow him. He says he can do whatever he wants to do. If he can control inanimate objects, believe me, he can control human beings, anything he wants to do. Verse 5, Persia, Cush, Put, Libya, with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all its hordes, the house of Togarmah, the uttermost parts of the north and all its hordes, many people with you. You, Gog, be prepared. Yes, prepare yourself. You and all your companions that are assembled about you, and be on guard and be a commander for them. So Gog is the name of the leader. He's the ruler on top. We looked at that. This is last year. We looked inside the Hebrew, where it means a person. It is a man. It's not some figurative thing. It is actual a person. Is Ezekiel is by most biblical scholars' accounts, this is identifying the leader of an army, Gog. He's going to lead an army. Magog, it's the Central Asia, across the southern parts of modern Asia and including parts of modern Russia as it comes down in towards Turkey. All those areas from Rosh, which is modern-day Russia. Mishash Tubul is parts of Syria and Turkey. Persia is Iran. Cush is Ethiopia. A couple weeks ago, that current event that we did on Djibouti, remember? China is building a military base on Djibouti at the foot of the Red Sea, just to the east of Ethiopia. Well, who cares? Because China is building at a base where it's going to be in an end-time prophecy. China is building a base next to Ethiopia. Put, which is also Libya, Gomer, central Turkey, and Togarmah, or Beth Togarmah, is also the eastern, southeastern part of Turkey and northwest Iraq. So when we watch the news now, I'm going to start inputting these names next to these countries. So we can actually start seeing, I think it's going to help us understand this and see it unfolding a little bit and see scripture come alive. You'll have a map in the next 2 weeks with this as well. So you'll have the modern day country, and then you'll have Ezekiel 38's name right next to it. And then we will no longer use the English language to refer to these countries. Because that's what we did when we learned French, right? At some point, they just stopped speaking English and we spoke all French. And I'm so thankful that I learned French. Okay, so it's helped me greatly. So, all right, that was a little joke, everyone. So, okay, how many people took a foreign language in school? How many use it on a daily basis? Not just when you're mad, but how many use it on a daily basis? Okay, all right, praise God. Okay, next current event: Germany to send thousands of military to the Middle East. Germany. Germany sending troops, ground troops, to the Middle East. They're starting with 1,200, and they're going to be filtering in 10,000 more, or up to 10,000 in the next 90 days. Pictured here is the Tornado Renaissance planes. They're also sending six of these in to the Middle East. France and Germany have opened the door to a co-op with the Syrian army to fight ISIS. Okay. Why is this so important? Okay, Daniel chapter 4, as we've been talking about, you guys remember the tree was cut down? The old Babylonian Empire, right? There's two bands left on that tree. Everyone remember? One of those bands was the old Roman Empire, and the other band was the old Greece Empire. It just so happens both those empires contained a Germany in them. And it says the new Babylonian Empire that's going to spring back, that's why the stump wasn't removed, is going to be that new Babylonian Empire, or the mystery Babylon in Revelation, right out of Daniel 4, is going to have the countries from the old Roman and Greece empires contained inside the new Babylonian Empire. Did everyone get that? We're just talking about, we've been doing the study now for 8 weeks. Here we go. Germany, which is part of those two old empires, is now sending troops in to the old center of the Babylonian Empire to help fight ISIS by joining France in Syria. They are joining with Assad to fight ISIS. Now, okay, this is even better, because you guys just look blown away right now. Okay, there'll be, just hide your amazement. You're doing so, you're good. Okay, there'll be no future. This is so good. Germany said, even though we're sending 1,200 on-the-ground troops, we're sending reconnaissance planes in and another 88 ground troops in the next 90 days, there still will be no future with the Syrian leader Assad, and that is clear. They're not helping Assad. They're seeing how strategic Syria is to the Middle East. Syria, which the Quran says is the place that must be taken over. The Quran says that Syria must be taken over. This is why you see Russia flying planes in there and Turkey shooting them down on the northwest side. This is why Russia has planes flying in the south, the southeast. Russia understands how strategic Syria is to the Middle East. Germany now is sending troops in. It says, oh man, this is so awesome. He says, when it is clear, this is Germany, when it is clear, once the transitional phase has begun, we will oust Assad. Germany says we will oust Assad. The French presidency later specified that cooperating with regime forces would only be possible once an inclusive government of national unity has been put in place in Syria and would also be at peace with the surrounding nations with Israel. Okay, ready? Well, I'm going to say this one more time, everyone. The French president said, Once we get ISIS, we're going to take out Assad, and we're going to put in a government of national unity to bring peace in the Middle East with the countries surrounding Israel. See how quick? I mean, this wasn't even made possible until three weeks ago, what just happened in France. You see how quickly things can turn? See, there's so many people who try to figure out when Jesus is coming back. You could die tonight. Stop trying to figure out when he's coming back. Be ready. Just be ready. Be ready all times. Over the weekend, when Germany announced it would send 1,200 troops immediately in the Middle East by the end of the year and added 8,800 more, a German constituency, it says, will be sent to the Eastern Mediterranean to support France's aircraft carrier. I showed you two pictures of France's aircraft carrier. It is the largest aircraft carrier in the European Union. They're sitting off the coast right now in the Mediterranean. Where do you think they're off the coast of? Think a little bit further south. And Israel. They're going in the international waters off the coast of Israel, Lebanon, and Syria, back and forth. To the east, I showed you a video 3 weeks ago of Russia firing missiles 1,300 miles away from another sea to the east coming into Syria. Now you have France and Germany to the west of Syria. Well, I thought they're supposed to surround Israel. This is God saying, get ready. This is my word is being fulfilled right now. He's strategically pulling people in. He says, I'm going to put my claws in you. I'm going to pull you back, and I'm going to make you do this. People have not, you know, you think these countries go, well, here we go, fulfilling Bible prophecy again. all right, you guys, let's just go do it. I think God wants us to do this. No, they're looking out for their countries. They're looking out for their old pride or trying to build themselves up just like King Nebuchadnezzar made these gold statues of himself. They want to make themselves look strong. You know, the bear of Russia. I mean, there's imagery that's put out of Vladimir Putin. There's a reason why he's seen walking around with no shirt, you know, manhandling bears and stuff. He wants to be strong. There's a reason why he's flying into Syria and he doesn't care. There's a reason he wants to be the leader. Does everyone see that? Okay, right now, don't think about what the Bible says right now. If you just listen to Fox, ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, all those stations right now, they're saying Vladimir Putin wants to lead the charge in the Middle East. You can watch the news, they'll say it. I can give you quotes right off the bat. Isn't it interesting? Ezekiel 38 says from Russia, there's gonna be a prince that comes down. He's gonna lead it against Israel. Okay, man, you guys are hard to impress tonight. I just tell you. It's like, got anything else? Okay, all right, here we go. We're going to keep going. Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'll keep going. I can go at 11 o'clock. Okay. Then we'll take a pizza break and we'll keep going. All right. Next one, Israel and Jordan unveil an $800 million joint plan for a Red Dead Canal. Red Sea, Dead Sea Canal. Well, who cares? Did you know that Jordan just nullified the peace treaty with Israel 2 months ago? Did you know that King Abdullah says we are beginning World War III and it's Israel's fault? But they just decided it's better. Hold on. It gets better. They are going to be rejuvenating together the rapidly diminishing Dead Sea with a canal to bring drinking water to both countries. What's the big deal? Did you know at the end of time that they're going to start rationing water? As a result of that, there has to be someone or a system, the beast system, an antichrist, an ultimate ruler, a caliph, and he's going to decide who gets the water and who doesn't get the water. And he's going to combine countries and people together that would never, ever even think of partnering together. The only people who are going to be against are the ones who won't accept the mark. Everybody else who does gets water. So what are you trying to say? I'm saying is you can see how that's going to take place right here. These two countries do not like each other. Jordan is the one that gets to facilitate what happens on the Temple Mount. And they're okay with the Palestinians even being there. They're okay with Islam being, and the Muslims being right there. It says Israel, here we go. What I did was, it's called the Red Dead Canal, Red Sea to Dead Sea. They're going to build a canal. Now, as you see, coming from the bottom of your screen, that's the Red Sea, just coming straight up. And it forks, one goes to the northwest and one just goes straight north. You guys see that? And what that does is it's going to cut straight all the way up north up into the Dead Sea. In an order, and this is a joint press release. The reason we're doing this is to rehabilitate the shrinking Dead Sea and supply drinking water to the Israelis, the Jordanians, and the Palestinians. They all hate each other, but we're thirsty. You guys ready? Here's the next one. Guess who's funding it? The project is completely 100% funded by the World Bank. The World Bank, One World Bank, is funding this to bring peace, because no one else is going to do it. What am I trying to say? You can see how a one world government at the end of time, which we are at the end of days, can come in and say, here, let me solve this problem for you. I know you guys don't get along, but you all need water. We'll supply your needs. Government supplying needs. Now you have to worship your government, correct? Because your government's taking care of you. You guys see how this takes place? They're all going to be loving the World Bank and the UN for doing this. The idea of the conduit between the two bodies of water was first put forward by the British in the 19th century. In the 1990s, Israel and Jordan, after signing their peace agreement, wanted to do it as well. It started to gain momentum, but the Palestinian Authority, 6 years later, along with Jordan, asked the World Bank to lend its resources to the feasibility because all three countries didn't want to give any of their money to help the other one. This is where a one-world government, a one-world bank will step in and take care. What do you call this? It's called making peace with these three nations. Do you know what the Bible says? That the first 42 months after the rapture of the church is going to be a time of peace? Why? Because someone's going to step up with some really good ideas. And that's going to be a one-world banking system and a one-world religion. Okay, you looked a little more impressed on that one. Okay. Lastly, everyone knows what this is, right? What are those called? Benjamins. All right, you got a little Benjamin action. Okay, those are called Benjamins, or $100 bills for those of you who don't have a Benjamin. Okay, the UN, do you guys see this? The UN wants a new global currency to replace the dollar. China also came out with a report on Monday. You know that China is ready to give up on their currency? China's been the only holdout in all the G20 summits since 2011 to go to one world. George Soros said in 2012, once China gives in, then we can all go to a one world currency. George Soros, great economist. He was in the Holocaust. He's been at everything. He pulls the strings behind a lot of different things. The UN Conference on Trade and Development has said the system of currencies and capital rules, which binds the world economy, is not working, and we need a one-world global currency and a one-world government system very quickly. I'm not going to read any more of this because I think you get it. Everything around us is pointing to the return of Christ, everyone. We just went over money. We went over governments. We went over, it's called the Red Dead Canal. How great is that? People need water. Who's going to solve it? A one world bank is solving the issue of how to bring peace to three countries who hate each other. We need to watch it and don't get upset. Don't get down. I love this. Just let it out. Okay. Here we go. First time you guys laughed tonight. Okay, all right. I'll edit laughter in periodically throughout the taping. All right. Okay, everyone got their notes? Prophecies of Daniel Revealed, Part 8. Prophecies of Daniel Revealed. We are looking at the revelation of Daniel because the Old Testament is concealed, the prophecies, and in the New Testament, they're revealed. So we're revealing the prophecies of Daniel by also looking forward to the New Testament and unveiling them, but the information that we know from the New Testament helps us now with Daniel and just looking at the news every single day. So I put last week, but it's actually 2 weeks ago when we first last met. We went over the tree and the tree stump. Everyone remember that? For those of you who are arborists, you got very excited that week. Oh, wow, you guys are tough. Okay, an arborist is someone who works with trees. All right, so we have Daniel chapter 4, tree and a tree stump. It said that the Babylonian Empire, the vision that King Nebuchadnezzar had that he asked Daniel about, not in Daniel chapter 2, which was the statue, you had images of that, but this is the tree. It says there was a beautiful tree that was growing, and all of a sudden Daniel said, but there was a tree that had to be cut down. It used to feed and used to prosper everybody around it, and they used to take off of its lush fruit, and it was cut down. But there was two bands left on it representing the colors or the metallic colors or metals, the red metals on that, were that representing Greece and Rome. It says that was left. And it said that King Nebuchadnezzar would have to go around that stump 7 times or 7 years before restoration would take place. So there was two bands we saw around the tree, the iron band, the brass band. The iron band would represent Rome, we know later on. So now we're going to look at the fourth empire of Bible prophecy in the book of Daniel. I'm going to remind you, there are empires of Bible prophecy in the book of Daniel, but the book of Daniel deals with specifically prophetic things dealing with the nation of Israel, how it affects Israel. The book of Revelation is it looks at everything from the beginning of time to the end of time, and it includes not just the effects of the empires on Israel, but all empires. So we're looking at the fourth empire of the prophecy of the book of Daniel. Everyone get that? Because there was two empires before then, but Daniel was writing from that point on when he was writing. John gives the whole length and span of time, but they were still in the same order. Daniel 7:19, then in the Amplified, I wished I know the truth. I love that. I wish I knew the truth. I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast. We know the beast is a system or it's an empire. Everyone remember that? And I saw the beast. Well, it says, well, I saw the horn, or I saw the Antichrist come out of the beast. It's like, what does that mean? The beast is a system. The beast is an empire. It's encapsulating not just the government structure, but the religious, with the idols that they worshiped, or the religion that they were honoring at that time. So as we continue, it says, there is a different from all others, exceedingly terrible and shocking, whose teeth were of iron, nails of bronze, which devoured, broke, and crushed, and trampled what was left with its feet. This is the Roman Empire. It's at the time that after Jesus died, they were killing people. They crushed the temple. Remember, they were stabbing people, crushing Christians, burying. They were taking gold everywhere. Verse 20, and about the 10 horns representing kings that were on its head, and the other horn, which came up later, and before which three of the horns fell, the horn which had eyes and a mouth, and it spoke great things, which looked greater than the others. And as I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them. See, the more we go over these passages, not just in Daniel, but Revelation, you guys, we're starting to understand now the writing of Daniel. And prophetically, so there's 10 horns or 10 kingdoms, and we know there is in Daniel chapter 2, there's 10 toes. Everyone remember that? We know in Revelation it says there's going to be 10 kingdoms that come up against Israel. In Ezekiel 38 and 39, there's 10 kingdoms that come up against Israel at one time as well. But it says in verse 20, but then there was a horn which had eyes and a mouth. So there's someone, wait, an eyes and a, well, I think, that, oh, that's just probably some imagery they're using. No, I think they're specifically pointing something out, that this wasn't an empire based upon a group of people. This is an empire that one person was leading. Okay, and the little horn here, some of your passages in verse 21 says horn, some say little horn. That is the Antichrist of Bible prophecy. We'll be going over that for this the next few weeks. So this horn, this little horn, made war with the saints. We know that the end of time, that the Antichrist is going to come up against the saints. Correct, everyone? So it says he's going to make war with the saints. He's going to come up against them. Now, these iron and brass nations, I told you last week we're going to go through this. So there's these two bands that are left on this stump. The Babylonian Empire was over. Daniel saw that taking place. Then there's these two stumps. But the bands are supposed to remain. And then coming back forth, it says this new Babylonian or mystery Babylon in Revelation, but it says this tree was going to grow back out of these two bands. So who are these two bands? Well, we know that the bands represented by the metals they are, iron and brass, or bronze, depends on what translation you have, Rome and the Greek Empire. So if you look at the Roman Empire and overlay the current countries, this would include the area of Jordan, Israel, Syria, Lebanon, Egypt, Morocco, Turkey, northern Iraq, Romania, Bulgaria, Germany, Britain, Spain, France, Italy, and Greece. If you take the old Roman Empire, overlay it on the current countries. Everyone with me? Okay. If you look at Greece, which is brass around that tree trunk in Daniel chapter 4, this would include the areas of, this is found in Daniel 2 now, it's identified as the Grecian Empire that spread under Alexander the Great. It includes all the nations that were under Rome, except for Italy, France, Spain, and Britain, which were added by the Romans. It does also, however, include Iran, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. So one is not disqualifying another. It's saying both of those combined together. Everyone understand? So you have everything that was mentioned in the Roman Empire, everything that's in the Greek Empire, and out of those, the new Babylonian Empire is going to be formed. It's going to be overlapped. Those countries are going to have involvement in the last Babylonian empire, which will be the seventh empire. We'll talk about that again tonight. But we need to keep our eyes on Iraq. Just listen to the news on Iraq. This is what's going on from Syria to Iraq. Syria to Iraq. It's constantly on there. So I'm going to go back to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, verse 34. At the end of the days, I, King Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. King Nebuchadnezzar, who took in Daniel 1, he took over Israel, right? He was training these boys. Daniel chapter 2, he had a vision. That was the statue. And everyone had to worship Daniel's God, right? And he killed everybody else. Daniel chapter 4, he had another vision. This was of the tree trunk. And everyone had to go worship God again, right? Daniel chapter 3, we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. This is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Threw them in the furnace, saw the fourth one walk around. They came out unsinged. Everybody had to worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? So the king kept seeing these things happen. Now, after Daniel chapter 4, he was thrown out into the wilderness for 7 years, the Bible says. But then his understanding came back to him. He's no longer a beast. That was the werewolf from 2 weeks ago. I bless the Most High, praise the honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. He acknowledges who God is. So after 7 years, understanding returned to the king, then he converted to the true God, began to give God the glory. Now the Antichrist is not going to convert at the end. Just don't draw that parallel right there. But you know, it says that the Antichrist will know that he's the true God. Now the Antichrist is not going to convert at the end of the 7-year tribulation, and neither will the false prophet. This is what John wrote. Revelations 19:20. Let's do it in the Amplified. And the beast was seized and overpowered, and with him the false prophet who's in his presence had worked wonders and performed miracles by which he led astray those who had accepted and permitted to be placed upon them the stamp, the mark, that's the Chi Sigma, or 666. And those who paid homage and gave divine honors to his statue. Both of them were hurled alive into the fiery lake that burns and blazes with the brimstone. It doesn't matter what he tries to do. The Antichrist and false prophet who head up this beast system along with their leaders are going to be thrown into a fiery hell. Does everyone understand that? Done. Over. They lose. But then it says those who have the mark of the beast will be the tares. Last fall we did some 3 weeks on that. You guys remember the wheats and the tares? Okay, at the end of time, those who accept the mark of the beast will be the tares and the goats of Scripture who will be removed at the judgment, and they're not going to be permitted to be in the 1,000 years. We're going to go into the 1,000-year millennium reign because people say, okay, hold on, I don't get it. Why are we doing a 1,000-year millennium reign? Wait, so there's going to be people in there who haven't accepted Christ? There's going to be people allowed to live to? I mean, what? You guys ever wondered that? Because why would the devil be allowed to be released after 1,000 years? This doesn't make any sense. So this is part of understanding these empires and how it's going to happen and understanding Daniel and Revelation. We're not going to go into that tonight because I don't want to get lost. I just want to let you know. Revelation's 24 now. John said, I saw thrones and sitting on them were those who in authority to act as judges and pass sentence. Also I saw the souls who had been slain with axes who had been beheaded for their witnessing about Christ and for preaching and testifying for the word of God. Do you know of anybody who gets beheaded? Turn on the news, right? Every single day people are being beheaded. Why? Because Christians. Anyone who's not going to follow Allah, Christians, can be beheaded. So he saw during this tribulation time, this last 3.5 years, people coming up who had heads that were beheaded, who had refused to pay homage to the beast or his statue and not accept the mark. So, Pastor, how do you know it's not referring to at any time that they were beheaded? Because he says, because they refused to accept the mark. The mark doesn't come into place until the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Okay? Why would they accept the mark? Because they understand what the word says. Okay? Well, why would they be made to take the mark? Because they're going to use water shortage, they're going to use food shortage against them if they don't accept it. That's where the Antichrist and the false prophet will combine. Revelations 20, once again, halfway through, they refused to pay homage to the beast or his statue and not accept his mark or permitted to be stamped on their foreheads or their hands. And they lived again and ruled with Christ for 1,000 years. And this is where the plot begins to thicken now. We're going to really start getting into this. Now, over the next couple weeks, we're going to start tying it all together. So usually the first couple weeks when we do a series, sometimes 4 to 5, some people tell me it's even more than that, we give you the information of it, right? And you're like, man, I wish you'd just tell me all up front. Well, you won't get it all up front if you don't have foundation. You can't get trigonometry if you don't have algebra. You can't have algebra if you don't have basic math. You can't get basic math if you know if you don't understand that if you give your brother all your food growing up, you'll be starving. That was a little joke too. Okay, all right, so my brother used to say that to me. He goes, seriously, you just give me 2 pieces and I'll give you 1 back. Oh, okay, that's a good deal. Well, eventually you have nothing. So you have to understand the basics to build upon them. This is not just in the Christian realm now. This is in life. I don't care what field you go into. Everyone wants to know, just tell me the end. Just tell me how I'm supposed to do it. You can't until you understand the basics. In order for something to stick with you, and because, see, our design is not just to know it all, it's to be able to replicate ourselves. That's what called witnessing and making disciples is. So if you just know the end and don't know how you got there, you can't reproduce yourself. You can't make disciples. This is why you just don't tell the end. You have to, this is the Bible says, study, show thyself approved. Why? Because I want to be able to share it with you because you're going to have basic questions. Yeah, but why did you get to that? This is why we just said when we talk about the political side of things, even though it's biblical, we need to know what the Bible says about it so you have the foundation that you can actually tell people for. It's because then it's just opinions to them if we just tell them what we think and don't understand how we derived at that thought. So we're going to look at the Roman Empire, which is an empire that really never died. Even though the political imperial Rome began to fade in the 5th century, the imperial part was taken over by the spiritual part, which was the Roman Church. So something transitioned. Remember, the beast in the Bible, or these systems, are not just government, they're also religion. So you have this thing that died off, this Roman Empire, this Roman influence in about the 5th century, but then you also had something rise out of that, which was the Roman Church. This is history, everyone. I mean, that kept going, and then they kept their influence. See, all throughout time, this Roman Empire has kept its influence. I literally just got goosebumps thinking about this. Daniel wrote that this remaining band around this tree stump, when Mystery Babylon or when the Babylonian Empire comes into play, it says the old Roman Empire is going to have something to do with it. Yes, it is. It's going to have a false prophet. Okay. The Roman Church took over Rome, and eventually the popes became like the vicars of Christ. I put a note in there if you don't know what that is. A vicar, it's from the Latin. A vicar is one of the earthly representatives of God or Christ. It's also used as a person acting as a parish priest in place of a real person. The title is used in Catholicism to refer to the bishop and specifically to the Bishop of Rome. So the Rome Church says, listen, this is who you have to listen now. This is who is controlling governments now. We don't have foot soldiers anymore, but we will have the spiritual part. Does everyone understand that? I mean, everyone knows why we started the United States? Something happened in history where the church was controlled, and it really was government ideology, who was controlling something. It says at the end of time in Revelations that the false prophet is going to cause people to take the mark. See, religion can control people easier than governments can. Islam is not a government, it is a religion. So now we're going to look at this empire of Bible prophecy called Rome. It's important to understand that Rome's impact spiritually, religiously, how it's been seamlessly just continued on and on, and it's building even bigger. We've done current events on the Catholic Church and more specifically the Pope and what he is trying to do by bringing different religions together, right? This is right here out of the Bible. It says this Roman Empire, a remnant is going to be left. It's going to start taking up. So now we're going to go back to Revelation chapter 12. We're going to go back and forth. It's going to help us understand in Daniel. John wrote, let's go to the Amplified. Then another ominous sign or wonder was seen in heaven. Behold, a huge fiery red dragon with seven heads, 10 horns, and 7 kingly crowns were upon their heads. So you have seven heads and 10 horns. What are the 10 horns? 10 kings or kingdoms. Everyone remember that? So he sees that. So what are these 7 horns? Because he says, I see this fiery red dragon. I see this thing along with 7 heads, and I see 10 horns. So there's a great red dragon that has 7 heads and 10 horns, and later on these 10 horns are given crowns, not in the book of Daniel, but in the book of Revelation. We study that, how that transitions in that. So there's 10 actual kings leading kingdoms or nations. So in the book of Revelation, this idea of 7 heads keeps coming up. This is what we have. Now we're breaking this thing down, understanding, because by understanding Revelation, we'll understand Daniel and vice versa. So there appeared to me a wonder of heaven, behold, a great dragon, 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his heads. Revelation 13:1. I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast, a system, a false prophet, right, and a leader rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and upon his horn 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. We studied that as well, the blasphemy. I had pictures of that. That was like 2 weeks we spent on that. There is no God but Allah. He has no son. They would actually rise up, those 10 nations that have that. They're written on their foreheads, on their clothing. Revelation 17:3. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman, Israel, sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns, getting out of there. Now you'll see the woman, it's going to be in 2 different places, and we'll go over that later on as well. So we have the 7 heads of the beast, the 7 heads of the dragon. Depends on what translation you read. So what are the 7 heads? They represent 7 empires. 7 heads represent 7 empires. From the beginning of our Bible, Daniel spoke of the empires from that time he was in forward. Everyone remember that? Babylonian Empire. He was in the Babylonian Empire moving forward. John, we went through Revelations and it spoke of the 6 empires. When John wrote, he goes, I'm in the 6th empire, right? He mentions the Egyptian empire, we know, went through Genesis, through Exodus 12, the first one. The Assyrian empire, chronicled in Chronicles and Kings, Chronicles of the Kings. That's where it's showing that. Then the Babylonian, the Media, the Greek, the Roman, that's the same. This is what John wrote. The same Babylonian, Media, Grecian, and Roman Empire are the same ones Daniel saw. Is everyone with me now? So John saw, John's revelation was everything from the beginning of time affecting everyone and every nation. Daniel saw what was affecting Israel at that time moving forward. So they both saw the exact same thing. The Median Persian Empire, number 4, is in the book of Daniel, Ezra, and Nehemiah. The Grecian Empire, this is interesting about the Grecian Empire. The strength of that empire, there was a 400-year gap between Malachi and John the Baptist. That's when the Grecian Empire was its strongest. So you won't see, now you have to go to history books to see what was going on during that Grecian Empire. Everyone with me? That's why I footnoted that in there. Between Malachi and John the Baptist, there's a 400-year gap. You know, and all of a sudden, so well, how do we know this information? History. History, you can start the Grecian Empire. The Roman Empire, 70 AD, they destroyed the temple, and we've gone through that several times. But now the seventh empire, or head or empire, it's the seventh head, right? The seventh crown or empire, whatever you want to call that. The seventh empire, the seventh head, whatever he sees, he's talking about, right? So we're going back and forth a little bit to Revelations and Daniel. But it's hard just to focus in on one without going back to another part of the Bible, because the Bible explains the Bible. So remember, we are looking at revealing the book of Daniel. And when we started week one, revealing the book of Daniel means understanding the imagery, understanding symbolism. And so when we go back and forth and see Revelation, go, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I get that, the 10 kings. Okay, yeah, I get that. They're coming out of the Mediterranean. Okay, I get that. So then you go back to Daniel and go, oh, that's what Daniel was talking about. So Daniel is concealed. Revelation is revealed. So we can look at the Revelation and see what Daniel was trying to conceal. Daniel was writing at the time of captivity as well, just like John. He was writing under Babylonian captivity. He was writing under the power of the Holy Spirit, so those writings would still be in existence today. He couldn't just come out and go, oh man, this Babylonian Empire, oh, this is going to be crazy. He had to say the tree was cut down, the tree's going to come back, right? And this is how they had to write. So this is understanding Scripture, understanding the period of which they were writing, understand why they used these words. So I believe that the seventh empire is forming now. The seventh empire of Scripture, I know, was going to take place at the beginning of the seven-year tribulation, right? That's not debatable. That's where they're talking about. There's a seven. But I believe it's forming now. Why do I believe that? Because when we do current events every week, we all can see it forming now. We look at Ezekiel. We look at Daniel, we look at Revelations, and every single country that's mentioned, every time we look at China's posturing itself in Djibouti off the coast of Ethiopia and the Red Sea. Libya is now having an Air Force base from ISIS being put in. All these countries that are in end time. So I know that the seventh head or seventh empire is being formed as we speak. This is the reason why the government wants to control, and I want to get into this a little bit. So this isn't just about land posturing. This is about control. This is about, well, that current event that we just talked about the Red Dead Canal, right? No one could decide. Government's going to provide, and it's going to make everybody happy. So the seventh empire is forming, and they're doing it. It's called globalism. There's other words we're going to use for this, but I'm going to stick with globalism tonight. You'll hear this word used a lot in the news, but the reason why the government wants to control, let's say, have a national health care plan, is because it's called globalism. Everyone gets the same, and we provide it for you so we can tell you what to do. What's the ultimate plan? Religion and one world currency. Well, we already know that the UN says we want a one world currency. We already know that last June, that the Pope has met with the former president of Israel and says, let's start united religions. So we'll have united nations and united religions. Not just our government, but the UN also wants to have everyone have a chip. Everyone's looking at me like, really? Yeah, okay, well, everyone's going to be chipped. It's an RFID chip. As of October of 2015, this year, which we talked about the beginning of this year, everyone, remember your new credit cards now, debit cards, ATM cards, remember they got that little chip in there, right? So now it takes about, instead of just going like this and real quick, you put your card in and you wait about 10 minutes, right? They've just speeded it up so much. They're just like, oh, in an effort to make it more secure. What they're doing is called marking or numbering people. The Bible talks about marking and numbering people. The UN talks about marking and numbering people. This is not conspiracy theory. This is just regular news. They talk about it every single night. This is what they're doing. So the UN, not just the United States, wants to be able to track from a chip. Why? To keep you safe. Well, that's what they're saying. It's to keep you safe. Don't you feel better? They can track you now from the credit card and your passport. Why? Okay, are you trying to scare us? No, I'm trying to tell you how close we are to the time of the end. I'm trying to tell you there was things that are happening over here, over here, over here, over here, and if it's like all of a sudden, you know what? They want you to focus on this over here, but there's a plan that's going on. And guess what? The leader of the president of Australia is not going, how can I bring the Antichrist here? What's happening? God is causing this to happen because it's his timetable and his plan. But so it doesn't matter who's in the office. Listen, it matters who you vote for, but God decides who gets in. Why? Because he has a plan. But what about the countries that don't get the vote and they just have a monarch dictatorship? It's like, that's God's plan. He's making all these things happen. Now, since 2007, just real quick, once again, I give you these little things so you can talk to people if something comes up. We just went to Cuba in the middle of October. Some people had passports that were prior to 2007. They did not have a chip. Passports after 2007 have a chip in them. So there's a picture right there. If you don't have it, it's like, oh my goodness, I did not know that. Yeah. I didn't need a driver's license to go to Cuba. I just showed him my passport. That's all I need. Why? All my information is in there. Well, what's in that chip as well? Your picture ID is in your passport, is in that chip. Well, that chip is also going to be, that's inside your credit cards and all that kind of stuff. That's going to have your picture in it. It's going to have every single thing that's in there right now. It's making it more efficient. See, from an outside, it's like, oh, this is going to make it easier. I don't have to carry all this information. Exactly. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a card and your passport with a chip. Well, I'm just going to cut that thing out. You can't. You can't travel. The chip is wrong when you take it in the forehead or the hand, and you're doing it for the purpose of the beast system. One world church, one world religion, everyone, one world government. So these things are going to take place. It's not that, oh, I'm going to stop that because I don't want to be any part of that. No, this has to happen. The Bible says this has to happen. Why? Because it's setting itself up for the mark of the beast. So people will readily accept it because it's just part of what's been going on. But all this tracking and globalism is part of an empire that's going to rule at the end of days. This is what's happening, is the technology and the way things are going to happen at the end. The strength of much of this empire will come out of the old Roman Empire, which will form back into the Babylonian Empire. The strength of this mystery Babylon that John wrote about, which it's going to start. The mystery Babylon, remember, Babylon contained Israel. They took over Israel. But it started up in the north, Iraq, Syria. It says mystery Babylon is going to start up in that area again, an old Babylonian Empire. But it's going to draw its strength, meaning numbers and unity and information and religion and all that stuff, from the old Roman and Greek empires. So you see now Germany getting involved. You're going to see Libya. They're stretching out a little bit from the old empires that are coming in. So the stump is the Babylonian Empire. Remember, that got cut down. And the rings or bands, this is going back to Daniel chapter 4 from our November 18th study, indicates these areas of the Grecian and Roman empires are all going to be in subjection to or connected to and under the ancient Babylonian Empire. These countries that were listed in the beginning of your notes, the Roman and Grecian empires, they're going to become under and subjected to the new Babylonian Empire. They're going to be part of it. This is why when you see members of the old Roman Empire and the Grecian Empire, that land mass, when they start getting involved in Syria and they start flying around Israel, That's Bible prophecy being fulfilled because they're helping shape the new Babylon. ISIS, by coming into Syria and moving into Iraq, is helping shape the new Babylon. There's a picture that I put in here where the Antichrist will first set up his headquarters. Remember, the Bible says that first he's going to start in Mystery Babylon, the old area. Where was all Mystery Babylon? Babylon, Iraq, right? He's first going to start up there. That's the first 42 months of Bible prophecy in the tribulation. Mystery Babylon, the leader will have his headquarters up there, and then to the west in Rome, this is out of Revelations, the religion headquarters will be in Rome. We already studied this. So you have the two. Then that system, that they're going to join together, and they're going to set up shop in Jerusalem the last 42 months. Remember, it's going to be trampled underneath. There's a picture there of Lebanon, Syria, and Iraq, which is going to be the basic part for where you see the Mystery Babylon occur, which they're going to control all the other areas of the Roman and Grecian Empire. I'm wondering how fast I should go because we're not going to get through this. Oh my goodness. We went through chapters 2, now chapter 4 of the book of Daniel, which contains the metallic empires, what those mean. 3 weeks ago, if you didn't get the notes, it's a breakdown of why God chose the names of these metals, what they represent, from the gold of Babylon to the silver that we saw in the Medo-Persian Empire, right, to the bronze that we know. We went into detail what that is. But these metals have revealed that the nations that we see today are going to be part of the territories that come into the end of days. This is why I'm going to start referring to the nations from not just Ezekiel 38 and 39. So when we see current events, I'm going to start throwing their names in. I'm also going to start using their old empire name where they used to fall underneath. You're going to start seeing it just, the Bible is just going to come so real. It's going to start to shrink right now. We have time for this first part here. Now, obviously you can keep your notes. I will have the balance of what we don't go over tonight, I'll have that in new notes next week. So I'm not just going to go over the back half of what we didn't get over tonight. I'll have those notes, and then I've already written ahead, so I have that as well. So I'm going to just go through. I don't want to rush. It's very important to understand this. So now we're going to go to Daniel chapter 3. We went to Daniel 4, 2, and 4. Now we're going to jump back to 3. This is not a dream. It's not a vision. It's just about worshiping a golden image, and you're going to see Bible prophecy really pop up now. The image, according to the Bible, was 90 feet high and 9 feet square, meaning 9 feet deep, 9 feet wide. It just so happens that 60 cubits high, 6 feet deep by 6 feet wide. Do you see any? Okay, we'll keep going. It was a large pillar of gold, and it was connected to a large economic summit. So it was about economics. It was about money. The events of Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar built an image. This was based on the dream, but it was all gold. He was honoring himself. He was the king or empire of gold. He was at the top of Daniel chapter 2, the top of that statue. That is gold. He, in Daniel chapter 3, he built just a solid piece of gold. All gold. 60 cubits high, 60 feet deep, 6 cubits wide. You can read that passage there. But what I wanted to show you is every single time they gathered together, every single time they heard, and I'm going to take you to verse 5, Daniel 3. Every time everyone heard the sound of the, number one, the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the dulcimer, or the bagpipe, you had to fall down and worship the golden image. Every single time you heard those play, he was the king, and he goes, you're going to worship the golden statue which represented King Nebuchadnezzar. Number two, the events of Daniel chapter 3 have Nebuchadnezzar, he had a large furnace to melt the gold. Gold melts at 1948 degrees. This furnace was extremely hot. That was the same furnace, not only that they heated gold in, but they heated people up in it. That's what they used. The events of Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar had six instruments. We just went over those. There were six instruments that took place, and once those happened, you had to bow down. If you didn't bow down to it, guess where you get to go? Into a furnace that's heated at 1948 degrees. So if you don't bow down in Daniel chapter 3, if you don't bow down to the image and do what it says, you get thrown into fire and you get killed. Hopefully some of you are jumping on some parallels right now, okay? The events has prophetic parallels found also in the book of Revelation. The event of King Nebuchadnezzar building an image, the image of the beast, the image of the system, right? It wasn't just about Babylon. It's about their idols and about their government and how they paid for everything with their gold. That was their currency. He built an image, and if you didn't bow down to it, you're going to burn and die. Revelations chapter 12, chapter 13 and 20. If you don't bow down to the beast in Revelations, you get your head cut off. Remember, these are the mysteries of Daniel revealed. So now we're going to start bringing this together. Daniel chapter 3 and the image and how it fits to the Antichrist and the image of the beast and the false prophet. So Revelations 13, 11. I saw a beast, a system, remember it's a system, rising out of the land containing these two people. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke and roared like a dragon. Okay, the first beast in verse 1 of the same chapter was the Antichrist. And now he says, now I saw another something out of the beast system, and this had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. This is the false prophet. So he already saw a Antichrist, a government fixture, person coming out, but now he sees something with two horns like a lamb. He exerts all the power and the right of control of the former beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell upon it to exalt and deify the first beast whose deadly wound was healed and had to worship him. Interesting. Okay, what does this mean? We're going to get more on this in the future, but I just want you to understand. He exerts all his power, the right to control, the former beast, former empire. What was the former empire? This is the seventh empire. The sixth empire was Rome. Rome. And this false prophet in Empire 7 is coming out of Rome. He causes the earth and those who dwell upon it to exalt and deify the first beast. Who's the first beast? Verse 1 of Revelation 13, the Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed and to worship him. Where does the Antichrist come out of? Babylonian Empire. Everyone with me? He says, you're going to worship the beast that's already come alive. Remember, it was dead. We've studied that. There was a beast that was dead that's now alive. It's the Babylonian Empire that was cut down, but now it came back and no one can believe it. Would anyone believe, seriously, 3 or 4 years ago, if I told you, guess who's going to rule the world? Everything's going to be about Iraq and Syria. What? Iraq? We took that out 15 years ago. What are you talking about? Iraq's going to be in the... Yeah. Everyone's going to be surprised they thought it was wiped out. They're rebuilding Baghdad right now. Everything is being rebuilt. Verse 13, he performs great signs, startling miracles, even making fire fall from the sky to the earth in men's sight. Did you see that this week, that child, that mom and dad says that the Pope healed their child? Did you guys see that? God didn't heal the child. It says the Pope healed the child. If you keep reading the article, it says the Pope healed the child. This is right out of Revelation. The signs and miracles which he is allowed to perform, which he is what? Allowed to perform in front of the first beast, which is the Antichrist, and mentioned in the word. He deceives those who inhabit the earth, commanding them to erect a statue. Whoa, sounds like Daniel, doesn't it? He's erecting a statue in the likeness of the beast who was wounded by the sword and still lived. Wounded, how did he get wounded by the sword? The old Babylonian Empire got wounded. But it didn't fully go away. The tree trunk was whacked, but it didn't go away. He is permitted to impart the breath of life into the beast's image so that the statue of the beast could actually talk and cause to be put to death those who would not bow down to worship the image. So what does this mean? He's bringing back to life something that was dead. There was an old Babylonian empire, now that's back to life. Who's going to give it credence now? It's going to be this religious leader, which I believe is going to be the Pope. He is going to validate this Islamic ruler and give him life to rule over people. Do you guys see this right here? See, doesn't it start making sense now? When you watch current events and you start putting it together, he's permitted to impart the breath of life. He's allowed for this empire to come back in this ruler so that the statue of the beast or the ideology of worship could actually talk and be caused to be put to death. He's going to say, you know what? If you don't do this, I'm the spiritual leader, we're going to have to put you to death because you're a troublemaker. Because you don't want to get our rations. You don't want, see, once again, this is going to come apart. You guys, when this Antichrist reveals who he really is 42 months into the tribulation. It's going to sound all great at first, but then it says, then the false prophet, 42 months into it, says, you know what? If you don't do this, we're going to kill you. How do you keep the peace? Whoever has the biggest stick keeps the peace. You just don't leave people alone. You got to say, listen, this is what happens if you keep the peace. I've never seen a couple kids running around screaming and arguing and say, oh, just let them figure it out. They'll be fine. You spank one, oh, the other two take notice, don't they? Whoa, if that's what's going to happen, whoa. If you start beheading people, you will get people under control. This false prophet's going to do this. Okay, what we don't have time for is the parallels between Daniel and Revelation. You can read that. You know what? You can read that on your own. We're just going to pick up fresh next week. I encourage you to read the parallels between Daniel and Revelation. What I did was I put down what happened in Daniel, titled it, King Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, right? Both empires, the old Babylonian Empire and the new mystery Babylon at the end of time during the tribulation, they're both going to have kings. One's the Antichrist, one's King Nebuchadnezzar. Both made an image to worship, right? The king made an image to worship and the Antichrist made an image. Both had penalties for not worshiping the image. One gets beheaded in Revelation, the other one gets thrown into a fiery furnace. Interesting enough, Isaiah 46, 9, and 10, it says, I told you in the beginning what would happen at the end. This is a repeat of what has happened 2,600 years ago. Both had numbers associated with their image. Interesting enough, the image that's in Daniel chapter 3 is 60 by 6 by 6 cubits. It's right out of the Bible. The image of the beast is 600 scores, 6 in Revelations. Both were persecuting the Jews. We studied that in Daniel, how they killed the Jews off. In Revelations, it says they're going to have to flee to the hills the last 42 months. Both had pressure put on. Furnace was heated up 7 times hotter. 7 times hotter, interestingly enough. 7 times hotter. How long is the tribulation? 7 years. There was 7 times hotter in the book of Daniel and 7 years of tribulation. The Bible says like something you've never seen before. Both had protection for the Jews. The Jews were preserved in the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel chapter 3, and all throughout Revelation, it talks about the Jews are fleeing to the hills, and it says God protected and preserved them in the wilderness for the Lord, for those who were going to serve him from the Antichrist. Both had deliverance. The fourth man in the fire in Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar looked in and go, oh my goodness, someone is saving Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The verse says that they came out and not one single hair was singed on their head. Revelations 24 said the exact same thing. It says you and I are going to be brought up and it says we are not going to be harmed whatsoever. Oh my goodness. Both defeated the enemy. Idolatry was defeated in Daniel chapter 3 and the beast and the image will be defeated in Revelations chapter 19 verse 20. And finally, both had dominion. Both had dominion. All people began to worship God in Daniel chapter 3 and in Revelations 24. You and I are going to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords at the end of time. Whew, I got through it all. Praise God. Oh my goodness. Are you guys getting this right now? This is the most alive thing from our current events that we just did tonight to what we just read. This is the most, we are reading the Bible in the news right now. This is what's taking place. So I ask you to stand tonight. We're going to close in prayer. And then, like I said, you can, like I said, you don't have to.